Far too many Palestinians have been killed. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. That is what Secretary of State Antony Blinken said today in India, before officials in Hamas-controlled Gaza reported the number of deaths there topped 11,000.
We appreciate the fact that yesterday Israel announced four-hour pauses with a three-hour notice in specific areas.
Though Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu tells Fox,
"We're going to continue until we eradicate Hamas. Nothing will stop that."
And the fighting rages in Gaza.
During one raid alone overnight, the Israeli military announced that its forces killed 19 members of Hamas. That includes commanders and the head of Hamas's sniper unit.
Fox's Alex Hogan is in Israel near the Lebanon border, where they're also battling Hezbollah militants.
We've been hearing the loud sound of artillery on the hilltop and the skyline behind me. Some of those explosions taking off right now. We can also hear the sound of machine gun fire off in the distance.
Now, there have been widespread pro-Palestinian protests here in the U.S. after one turned deadly in California Sunday. Fox's Jeff Manasso reports.
The Ventura County Sheriff's Office saying investigators have photos and videos from before and after, though no images, of an altercation in Thousand Oaks between 69-year-old Paul Kessler, a Jewish man, and a pro-Palestinian demonstrator.
Kessler died after he fell down and his head hit the ground. So far, no charges. President Biden's going to meet next week with Chinese leader Xi Jinping in California, their second face-to-face meeting.
Both leaders are traveling to San Francisco for the APEC summit. The official says now is the time for high-level diplomacy with China to manage tensions and prevent competition from verging into conflict or confrontation. U.S. officials also say the U.S. enters the meeting with stronger ties in the Pacific region.
That's Fox's Jared Halpern. Iran-backed militants have launched a 47th attack on American forces in the Middle East, but this time the drone was shot down in Syria. America's listening to Fox News.
With the holidays upon us, the increase in traveling, shopping, and connecting online also heightens the need to protect your identity and finances with LifeLock. Identity thieves see this time of year as an opportunity to drain your accounts, open new loans in your name, and damage your financial future. LifeLock detects and alerts you to the threats you might miss on your own. Don't let the busy holiday season catch you off guard. Save up to 25% off your first year with promo code CLAY. LifeLock.com, promo code CLAY.
Pure Talk, America's wireless company, is on a mission to alleviate $10 million in military debt by Veterans Day, but they're going to need your help. Now, Pure Talk will donate a percentage of every new order to this great cause. When you make the switch, they make it simple, fast, and easy to their super fast 5G network. Talk, text, plenty of data now, only at $20 a month. Do it right now. Dial #250. Say the keyword save now. Make the switch to Pure Talk, and you can help a military member.
Here's the news in 60 seconds from YumaDailyNews.com. Students from Gadsden School District 32 Music and Dance Program have been invited to participate in London's New Year's Day Parade and Festival at the turn of the year 2024 to 2025. The invitation was extended yesterday by the founder of the parade and the great-grandson of wartime leader Sir Winston Churchill, Bob Bone. The parade sees more than 8,000 performers from around the world, entertaining a street audience of 500,000 and a global TV audience of tens of millions. The city of Yuma is accepting military service plaque orders for veterans to be mounted in Armed Forces Park on Gila Street. The city has mounted 22 plaques since July 1st, with 19 more set to be mounted over the next few months. For additional information, including cost, visit the city's website. Yuma City Hall will be closed today. City solid waste and curbside recycling customers will not be affected. Also, due to observance of Veterans Day, the Yuma Civic Center will be closed today. For more, visit YumaDailyNews.com.
Every day, safe, prepared, informed. Every day, safety is our top priority. At APS, we consistently make updates to our electrical system to keep our crews and customers safe around electricity. Remember these tips. Put safety covers on wall outlets. Call 811 before you dig to have the location of underground wires marked. And stay at least 100 feet away from downed power lines. For more ways to stay safe around electricity, visit aps.com/brighter.
We've had a series of storms making their way into the Pacific Northwest, but high pressure to the south has kept most of the rain and the snow well to the south of us, and has also kind of insulated us against much in the way of cooler weather. It's a mild day today, 78, low 50s tonight. It does get warmer, though, over the weekend, 81 tomorrow, 84 Sunday, 85 Monday. I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel.
Investment advisory services offered through CWM, LLC, and SEC Registered Investment Advisor. Welcome to Money Talk with Yuma Investment Group's Tom Rush, founder, wealth advisor, and George Davis Sr. Wealth Advisor.
Good morning, Yuma. Money Talk, AM 560 KBLU. Derek Eggerberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage in studio. Russ Clark, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
So you've had a good show already, and you sound
Greg was in. Greg Wilkinson was always nice.
So you guys are talking worldly events,
yeah.
And I'm just thrilled we got done with a local event.
And Marine Corps.
And Marine Corps birthday. Happy birthday to the Marine Corps. And
you had some patriotism going on last night at a local event.
Well, you know, I mean, that's a sideline thing, but I love doing that event. I love doing our client appreciation event. And the two things that aren't part of the public event forward facing is we do a flag retirement ceremony because I want to always show our staff and some people what a flag retirement ceremony is. So thankfully, Colonel Philby is always gracious enough to come over and do that with us and for us. And the last year and this year, he allowed us to video it. So we'll put together a good video presentation of what a true flag retirement ceremony should be. And kudos to Colonel Philby. He's not going to like me saying this, but he apologized for getting choked up when he was reading part of the script.
And I said,
you know, Colonel, that's one of the reasons I want you to do it, because most people don't understand that.
He's done
that
it more
passion.
Than once.
Oh, yeah. Well, but most people don't understand the passion that these men and women in the military put into their service. And to see that passion and emotion come out in Colonel Philby when he's doing a flag retirement ceremony is fantastic.
But he has seen things and what it means to defend country more than you and I ever will.
Yeah. And that's kind of the takeaway to the staff who gets to see it is, you know, hey, guys, hey, gals, this is important stuff that if we don't learn it and share it, our kids are never going to know it and learn it and share it.
That's a problem.
So, you know, the flag retirement ceremony before we do it, we had just about 600 people at our client appreciation event last night. Now, I know you rode your e-bike there, so parking for you was not a problem.
Yeah, really easy. Right behind the snow cone machine.
But, you know, we had about 600 people there, and it's nice to say thank you to clients and partners and just, you know, no expectation of anything other than a good time. Huge shout out to the Gwynn sisters.
Oh, I was going to say, you haven't mentioned them, so
well,
good.
I was trying to go through the whole thing. So you mentioned patriotism. Had the Gwynn sisters there, and they sung the national anthem for us, and that was a phenomenal harmonized rendition of
they've practiced.
Well, you mean they're not just that good naturally?
They're like professionals.
Well, they are.
Yes.
They're just finishing their Arizona to Nashville tour.
But they're in high school and AWC in high school and they're professionals.
Isn't that crazy?
That's great.
So, you know,
it's
nice to see talent coming out of Yuma. So, again, thank you to Colonel Philby for the flag retirement ceremony. Thank you to the Gwynn sisters for the national anthem. And truly, thank you to everybody for showing up just to support a great thank you event. You showed up. So,
did you get anybody to ride that stupid bull?
Yes. Yes. And, you know, for everybody who's listening, I actually was going to pay to see if Russ would get on the bull, but the only bull Russ is ever on is on the radio.
That's all bull.
But it's the bull was going nonstop. The bouncy house with kids were full nonstop. It was a good time.
Yeah, and that's an electronic bull, you know, that they... God, it used to be a big deal. I guess it's still out there.
It is. So, you know, love, it's a family event. So shout out to, you know, Robbie Rodriguez with Cretines. They were there serving margaritas for us. Amazing. Manny's Tacos, Manny Valenzuela just put on a great spread for us. Chris Wheeler, Prison Hill Brewing, brought some of his personal brews in. And it was just a great event all the way around. So, But we do have a couple other events that I would like to mention.
I mean, some we could still go to versus the ones in
yeah.
the past.
So we don't want to talk
you
about that.
You mentioned all the past ones. That's nice. But
well, I can't say.
Nobody can gear up and say, gosh, I want to go.
Well, was the weather great last night?
Beautiful. That's I told you. I rode 20 miles on that little bicycle.
Well, no. The bicycle went 20 miles. You only pedaled like 1 or 2 miles. We know how the e-bike works. It's okay.
It's an assist.
So weather was perfect. It was a little windy in the morning. We didn't get set up, but the weather last night was perfect, which means we should have a great day today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Why is that important, Russ?
Balloons.
Balloon festival.
Yes,
so,
sir.
Just in studio, Jeff Johnson, El Presidente, Caballeros de Yuma. So good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, gentlemen.
He even came dressed, you know, as a caballero.
I came straight from West Wetlands Park, where we still had 3 balloons inflated on the ground, and we're very hopeful that they will get off the ground, but they had a little bit of a wind event that happened right after sunrise, and so I don't think they were going to get up this morning, but... Oh. We're very, very optimistic about the weather for the rest of the weekend.
See, it looks calm right now compared to what I'm used to.
Yes, it's better than it was yesterday for sure. When that wind laid last night,
was
we were
awful.
All really excited about that. But at this point, we're still hopeful that a couple of balloons might get off the ground this morning. But
I saw at least one because one was in the air as I was driving here.
It was, but that one wasn't actually one of the balloon festival balloons. It was a private owner here in town.
Some guy with reckless abandon.
just riding your coattails. I like it. So this weekend, the balloon festival, for those, and I've had a lot of people talking about it, a lot of people asking, you know, do we believe the wind should be better? And from my understanding, especially you in your profession, you watch the weather all day long. It does appear that it should be really good tomorrow.
We're still very optimistic. It just was kind of an unusual circumstance right there by the river. I think they had a little bit of drainage from the low area right there, and it was just kind of right at the surface, causing them some trouble. And so
wasn't Russ Clark's hot air on air.
The more experienced balloonists were cautious, and that's for the best. They want to make sure that they're going to get up there safely and not have any issues when they land. So. But we are very optimistic about the weather. Obviously, we've got tomorrow's launch still to look forward to at sunrise again at West Wetlands. And hopefully we'll be back there again Sunday morning. But obviously the big event is Saturday night.
So let's talk about that because, again, for everybody who's listening, there's really 3 main events that we can go to. So you mentioned tomorrow, West Wetlands, sunrise. Now, for everybody who's not familiar with what time sunrise is, what time do you expect first balloon to go off?
Probably right after 7 a.m. Something
and that's
like that.
Not when you want to show up.
No. Exactly.
So
exactly.
For again, when we say sunrise because that's when you see the balloons technically inflating and going, but you really want to be there about when?
I would say for the public, if you get there about 6:30, you'll be there in plenty of time to kind of find a spot, set up, be able to see what's going on. And the great thing about being out at West Wetlands, there's a lot of space. And so the general public can kind of walk around and just interact with everybody out there. I mean, once they start inflating balloons, they'll ask you to step aside so they've got some space to get the balloon up off the ground. But otherwise, you can pretty much be right there, right next to where the balloons are and where the action's at, and it's a lot of fun.
And for everybody with kids and grandkids, bundle them up warm. It is cold, especially before sunrise. But this is a fantastic event to take the kids to because what you just said is you can walk in and around the balloons. You're next to the fan when they're inflating. You feel the heat coming off these burners as they're firing, inflating these things. And, you know, again, as an adult, it's super cool watching this stuff.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, it's a neat event. And if you ever get a chance to go up in one and... funny, I guess I mentioned that on purpose because we're going to have tethered rides.
Oh, boy, that was a softball if I've ever seen one. Holy buckets. So, but you do have a tethered ride company both at the morning launch and the glow in the evening, right?
We will have them. It'll be the Sunday morning launch. They'll be there and the Saturday evening glow. So we'll have them Saturday
So not
evening.
Tomorrow, but Sunday Correct. Morning and Saturday night. Okay,
Correct.
That's good
Correct.
To know.
Yeah, there won't be tethered rides tomorrow morning, but we're hoping to launch 20 balloons tomorrow morning. And
what kind of winds do they need to take off?
I am told that 10 knots is an absolute no-go, which is about 11 miles an hour. And then so they're looking for everything below that.
My computer's telling me it would be 6 tomorrow morning at 7 and stay at 6 for 8 o'clock.
And they that's the first hurdle they've got to get over is that surface wind. And then then they start looking at the higher elevations.
I never go that high.
They've got to figure out what they're going to do once they get up there. But yes, that is definitely the first one they're looking at. And the forecast is good for tomorrow. Absolutely.
So the winds today that kept them were the higher altitude winds?
It was
winds?
Kind of a localized surface breeze they were struggling with. They were actually having trouble getting the balloons inflated and stable on the ground. And so they were a little nervous about launching.
Oh. So Balloon Festival launched tomorrow morning, West Wetlands. And again, why do you pick the West Wetlands?
Well, obviously, there's a lot of space over there, mm-hmm. not only for the balloonists, but for the general public. There's a way to drive in, to park, to kind of handle all of that crowd. And it just seems like a good location. It's worked out really well for us. And in general, it's a good spot to take off from. Usually, we don't have that trouble with those little surface winds that pop up in weird ways.
And I've heard a lot of people say, well, there's other places you could do it, but the way the winds typically go, that forces the balloons to fly all the way over Yuma and down towards Summerton, so everybody gets to see them. Any other launching areas, you may not fly all the way over Yuma.
Exactly, so. That's true.
And we've had them fly over the airbase.
Yeah, and they're allowed to do that.
Oh, yeah, they'll call. I mean, they're aware.
Because kind of once you're up there, you're really not moving. Yeah.
Yes, they definitely have to get clearance before the event. We do that every year. Yeah. It's just part of the process.
So this is an event that has been worked on for quite some time. This is not we just started it.
33rd annual this year is the 33rd annual Colorado River Crossing Balloon Festival.
So the schedule is kind of known and the process is put together. One of the things that you hear the balloonists talk about is what you were just doing, looking at the weather on your laptop here, but you actually have a full weather station out there for the pilots.
They didn't this morning, but they'll be out there. The weather crew from YPG will be out there tomorrow morning helping get everything set up. They'll launch test balloons and check not only the wind at the surface, but like we talked before, right, about the wind at the
so
higher elevation.
Safety is paramount for these guys, and you don't leave it to chance. So
absolutely.
Tomorrow morning and then tomorrow evening. Tell me about tomorrow evening.
Well, we'll open up at 3:00. We'll be out at the Ray Kroc complex. And there will be a glow at sunset, obviously. And what a glow means is basically the balloons will inflate. They'll stay on the ground stationary, but they'll inflate the envelopes and you'll get quite a show. It's pretty cool.
It's fun.
We get thousands of people out there. I don't know how many we can fit in that stadium, but I'm guessing we pack it every year. And this year we're going to have the tethered rides, and there will be some other entertainment out there
And we're supposed to have pretty decent weather then, too.
Should be pretty decent. That's probably our most iffy of the winds this year is looking at Saturday night at this point. But even if they don't get the envelopes up, I know that they'll do a candlelight display, which is basically the baskets with the burners, and they'll do that coordinated with each other and maybe even with the DJ and with the music going on.
Fairly optimistic with the wind speeds right now.
But our
weatherman, Russ Clark, has a update
for
us.
Well, for Saturday evening, it looks like at 3:00 it's going to be 11 miles per hour, but they're not.
They won't
inflate till like
They won't inflate till probably more like 5:30, something like that.
5:30, it's going to go down to 10, then 9 by 6, 8 by 7, and stay 8 or 7 after that.
So possible.
It's possible, definitely mm-hmm. possible, yes.
Yeah.
But that's another fun event to take a blanket, go sit out in the grass. You can be right in and around the balloons as they're inflated.
Oh, they play music, and they do a lot of great things to that. They talk to them. You know, you get the owners of the balloons and the operators, talk to all the kids. I took my grandkids, you know, mm-hmm. and they just thrilled. It's Disneyland when you run around that mm-hmm. that park there. With all those huge balloons inflated, with them, you know, the lights, the
light and the color,
yeah,
it really is fun. So gates open at 3:00. Now, what is the charge for entrance?
Let me double check my notes here. It looks like we're $3 for entrance, and plus we're collecting canned food donations. And this year, our beneficiary is. Bear with me, gentlemen.
That's right.
I think we need to send him to the optometrist.
He wants to make sure he gets it right.
Well, that's and I'm trying to do that, and I believe
While he's looking, so
my
very
apologies.
No, while he's looking, very inexpensive entertainment. $3 to get in. Bring canned goods, non-perishable items. So it's a a nominal fundraising. It really doesn't even cover the cost of the event, but it is also one of the big fundraising drives for a group here in town. And so, you know, what I appreciate about this is there's no cost in the morning. You drive out and you do whatever you want to do. There's coffee and hot chocolate by a couple of vendors. There's typically donuts and breakfast burritos by, again, some of the nonprofit organizations, community groups. And there's no cost. Come out and do something inexpensive.
So what's the cost for the grandkids?
Well, your grandkids?
For
anybody, it would be $3. For your grandkids, I'm thinking $20 or $30.
So the babies? Is there anybody free? I need to decide which grandkids are going.
Well, if they're with you, nobody's free, okay? You can't sneak them in.
I believe this year we're Yuma Community Food Bank, and I couldn't find it written on my my flyer anywhere, but we alternate, pardon me.
We alternate between the food bank
and the Salvation Army.
Yeah.
Correct.
So either way, the food is going to a group that A, desperately needs it, and B, puts it to good use. So bring $3, bring some canned goods, bring something, and just have some fun. Get out, mix and mingle with your friends and your family, let the kids run around. But it's gates open at 3. The glow starts after dark. There's music, entertainment. What you said is, as the music's playing, they orchestrate when to fire the burner, so everything lights up.
Exactly.
And then in the end, there's fireworks. So for everybody who wants to know, the fireworks can't go off until the balloons are deflated and the envelopes are put away. Because the weirdest thing, the balloonists don't want their balloons charred by any falling embers.
Afraid of a little fire.
That's one of the questions I get every year is, when are the fireworks? Not until all the balloons come down and are put away. So please don't leave early. Don't think it's over, because that's one of the things you see people, the balloons start coming down and everybody files out. No, the fireworks are after they're all put away.
Absolutely. Sorry, guys, my voice is leaving me here. But
I wish it would.
So, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So we've got the West Wetlands tomorrow morning for the launch in the morning.
Correct.
Then go home or, go get breakfast, go hang out with your friends and family. 3 o'clock gates open. We've got events probably through 8:30 tomorrow night.
How many balloons?
There should be 20 balloons this year if we get them all here, and they are all in town. So
and that's a lot.
That's a good pickup.
It'll be a good group. Yeah, we're up from
previous
last year.
Years. Mm-hmm. So and then after the glow, go home, get cleaned up, enjoy an evening. But then Sunday morning, the same thing. So bundle up your kids and bring them back out to the West Wetlands again at sunrise.
And be there a little bit early, probably by 6:30, you said.
Yeah, to be there at sunrise means you have to get up before sunrise.
Exactly.
Does people understand that?
For everybody's benefit, I would think, I know Jeff is being optimistic, 6. Get there a little early. Make sure you've got a good parking spot. Because if everybody gets there right at 6:30, 6:45, and you're filing those cars in, they do get parked quick, but it does take a little bit of time. So I'd rather be there early, get a cup of coffee, cup of hot chocolate, have a breakfast burrito, and walk around and mix and mingle with the pilots, because they really do enjoy it.
Oh, absolutely. No, most of the pilots, they've been here for years now, and they love the community. They love the camaraderie. Most of them are friends with each other. I mean, there's a lot of people that fly balloons, but it's still a small community, and they kind of go from festival to festival, and they know each other, and they just want to have a good time and interact with people.
There's two balloons that are intriguing to me. Number one, Jerry Pollan flies his personal balloon, which is a one-man balloon. Now, gentlemen, describe a one-man balloon, because I'm used to
big lawn chair.
It's a lawn chair strapped to the balloon.
Is. Yeah,
I think he's got a 5-point harness on that, but I'm not really sure. I know it's just a wicker basket underneath me when I'm in a balloon, but I'm not sure how I feel about my legs dangling over and seeing nothing underneath me.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd be the most comfortable in that either, but when you've got all the thousands of hours of flying that he does, I think you've got a comfort level with the. I think it's more about the envelope above you than the
chair below you.
He's one with the wind. He understands.
And the other thing is, you actually got a unique shape. You've got a what is this unique balloon coming in?
Well, there's a lion-shaped one out there, and that one was actually inflated this morning. I don't know if he got off the ground, but they did get it inflated. So it was really cool. The people got to take a look at that. And there's quite a few pretty neat balloons.
Oh, they're all gorgeous, and they're all unique and custom. That's the fun thing, is the pilots get to design how you put the envelopes together. But you've got Duma, the lion, flying around here. So super cool that, you know, going back after some custom shapes and things. And it's, again, it's just fun to see these pilots smile when they're talking about their balloons. It's a passionate hobby that these guys are not getting paid large dollars to come here.
No, definitely not. It's a labor of love for them. I think, it's, you know, there are some
hobby
that get some sponsorships, but it's just something fun that they do on the side
that they get to do. So,
you know, official sunrise. You know what time that is?
I would love, Mr. Weatherman, would you tell me?
7:03. So get there at 6.
So the first balloon, both Saturday and Sunday, to take off is flag, national anthem.
Well, yes, on Saturday they'll play the national anthem.
Or that wildcat that just took off on his own that doesn't belong to the group.
I don't think we'll orchestrate the national anthem to the wildcat balloon, but we could.
Do you have the Gwynn sisters coming in for that?
That's not up to me. I did that at my party. That you'd have to ask El Presidente.
They won't be at the balloon festival, but they will be at the Ken and Betty Borland tower lighting on the Saturday after Thanksgiving. So
that's always
and just to throw another mention out to either the Yuma Community Food Bank or to Salvation Army. Obviously, one of them will be collecting food at one event, and the other will be collecting at the other. So we do support both organizations, and we do collect food every year for both groups. So
and everybody needs to go to both.
Everybody needs to go to both. Absolutely. So we will have the Gwynn sisters at the tower lighting this year again.
If I may, you just mentioned the tower lighting, so let's shift gears a little bit.
Sure.
The events that and again, you're El Presidente this year of the Caballeros de Yuma. The events that are put on are not small one-day planning events. These are large events that take manpower and lots of time. The tower lighting, how long has that been worked on so far?
Oh, gosh, this one should be 35th or 36th. I'm sorry, I don't have the number.
Yeah, but it takes
right
all year.
But this is all year long,
yeah,
right?
We basically start in the summer communicating with people and making sure that we're going to have the groups that are lined up.
Of course, it's never finalized till the last moment, of course.
That's absolutely true.
Something on the script or something has to be finalized the last moment, you know, because otherwise we'd have no, anxiety.
There you go. But for your benefit, though, you've already had parties checking the lights, making sure the electrical is done.
Correct.
If you go actually drive near the tower, the stringers are up.
No, if they wanted to, they could go out there tonight and flip the switch.
Hey, don't tell them that. Yeah. Somebody go do it.
That's not legal.
But that amount of work has been done months beforehand.
Correct. A month ahead. Yeah, exactly.
So you've got entertainment. And for anybody who's not been to the tower lighting pageant, give me a Cliff Notes version, gentlemen. What is this tower lighting
dancing
pageant?
Dancing.
Dancing?
Dancing,
yeah,
singing.
Lots of dancing.
Yes.
Like you two dancing?
Nope.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Thank you. Okay, Russ Clark is not dancing. We can all still attend.
There are so many dance organizations within Yuma that want venues. They would love to go to any venue, and this is one of their favorites. I mean, this is one that they can't wait to come to.
It's also a great opportunity because almost every dance group, every singing group, they're going to have something around the holidays that they're working up towards. They're going to do their own, whether it's a nutcracker that they're putting on for the holidays, or whether it's a special dance program that they've got set up for a school or for the community, or whether it's a choir that's getting ready.
I know
to
a lot of them that do special
Christmas
dance just for this.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely,
they will organize dances just for this.
Absolutely, and it's just a great event. It's an opportunity for the kids to show what they've worked on all year, and a chance for the community to come and see the talent level.
Right,
it's a
great venue to have grandma and grandpa out in the audience to watch the grandkids dance and all that kind of stuff. It's a wonderful
dancing thing. Singing. There's always hot chocolate. So Bobby Kamen makes his world famous hot chocolate.
Yes.
And there's tons of stuff out there. Very inexpensive to get in there too.
Just a food donation for this one. Yeah,
so food donations, and there is always a bucket that takes dollar donations
there,
that
there
do
are,
go
yes
back to the vendor that we're giving the food to. So again,
and there's always somebody with a microphone saying some things that I can't remember, but that's okay too.
It's kind of like when Russ Clark's on the radio; nobody really remembers what he's talking about.
So what we're alluding to is Derek's going to be our MC again this year. And he's done an outstanding job the last 2 years.
Well, that's what I meant to say.
Yes, yes. I'm sorry. Yes. That's okay. It's my job as the head hood ornament for the organization this year to say nice things about Derek.
The head hood ornament. Valen told me that I'm doing that again this year. Love doing that event, seeing the kids out there and the people who are putting time and energy into the singing and the dancing. And it's just fun to see that, like you say, the parents and the grandparents in the stands watching proudly, seeing their family doing stuff. But it's also just a great time to shake hands and talk to people. Oh, I like about...
And how much does that one cost?
He just
that
said...
That one's basically free for a food donation.
Free.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure we got it out there free.
Yes. Okay. I mean, obviously, we'll take donations because we donate that right back to the organization that we're collecting for. But if just bring a canned food, non-perishable, bring your family.
And you don't have to have a grandkid to
absolutely not.
You can have no kids in it and still be there.
Mm-hmm. We would love to see more people from the community come out.
In fact, you can cheer for my kids. I don't care.
Exactly.
Singing, dancing, there's, in the end, you also have Santa Claus riding in.
Santa Claus always makes an appearance for us.
Will it run this year, you think?
Well, if not, you're going to have several of the caballeros behind it pushing it again. So whether there's reindeer pulling or a bunch of guys in red coats pushing, it's kind of all the same thing.
There's going to be an antique car coming up.
Mm-hmm. So Santa Claus there, pictures with Santa Claus, candy canes for the kids. It's just a fun family event that you see lots of music, and then the tower gets lit, and that starts the holiday season.
Absolutely, and it's just kind of... I don't know. It wouldn't feel right in Yuma if we didn't light that tower right after Thanksgiving
and I think
get the holidays brought in with that.
So what Saturday is it?
That will be Saturday the 25th, I believe.
I don't have my
Saturday the 25th.
That sounds about right.
Okay. Yeah. So Saturday the 25th, holiday tower lighting pageant, which is also at the Ray Kroc Stadium.
Desert Sun Stadium, yes.
So you're going to go to Desert Sun Stadium. It's all there. You don't have to sit at the tower. You sit in the nice, comfy stands.
Yes.
And it's just a super fun, easy event.
We've got about an hour-long program is usually what it takes. So you're not there for too long a time, and you're not there for too short a time. It feels just right. We get quite a few of the dance groups, local groups from around town, the singing groups, and they all get their turn, and some of them do two or three performances depending on the level of dancers they've got and what kind of special program they're putting on. So
is there anything that you enjoy about the Tower Lighting Pageant that we haven't talked about yet?
Wow, that's a loaded question. I don't know.
Same question is coming to you, Russ. So you better start
honestly,
thinking.
I just really like the way the whole thing ties together. I like Like we just said, it sort of brings in the holiday the right way for Yuma, and without it, I wouldn't feel like, I don't know, there's something we'd be missing, and so that's just kind of my feeling, is just the fact that we have it and that it allows the youth of the community to kind of showcase what they can do. It's really exciting.
I like it when it's over, and here's and here's why. Yeah,
you're never there taking down the dance floor.
That's not the part. But after it's over and the lights come up, all the kids come out onto the fields. The dancers come back out. They want to see Santa Claus. Mm-hmm. That's when there's a, you know, everyone is upbeat, joyous, shaking hands, saying hello to each other, waiting in line to see Santa Claus. And I think, you know, that just means we had a great event.
Yeah.
You know.
Citizen of the Year?
Yes, Citizen of the Year will be there. And off the top of my head, I can't remember who that is right now, but.
For everybody's benefit, it's always the Citizen of the Year that throws the plunger that actually turns the lights on. So it's not only celebrating the dancing and the singing groups, it's not only, you know, mixing and mingling and just being just happy to be around other people, but it's also celebrating the Citizen of the Year and saying thank you to people who do good work. So if you're looking that up, you know, again, you look at some of these events that as El Presidente, do you have any idea what 20 other guys are doing that are working the event when you're doing your stuff? and your answer, I know, is going to be no, that you just, you're trusting everybody else is doing their part, and everybody just pulls together without any need for accolades or attention.
Well, the answer is yes and no, because I've actually been chairman of that event, so I do know what everybody's supposed to be doing, but who's exactly doing what at what time, it always comes together. It's a good group. They're here for service. They're not here because they get to wear a red jacket and they think it looks cool. They're here because they want the community to be a better community, and they want it to be not only for themselves, but for everybody who might think about coming here in the future. It's just we've got a lot of good events, and we want to keep it that way, and we want the Yuma community to be a place that people not only feel comfortable coming to, but really, really want to call home.
Agreed. And look at some of these events that are put on. So the name of the event is the official...
The Ken and Betty Borland Holiday Pageant and Tower Light.
Now, why is it named for Ken and Betty Borland?
Well, obviously, they were members, upstanding members of this community for years and years. Betty still comes back from time to time to actually attend the event, and they'll have family members there as well, but... Mm-hmm. This event was close to their heart. It was important to them. The holidays, not only that, but just the ability to bring together the community.
And they were the two that were instrumental in creating the event.
Absolutely. No, that's...
and for those that don't know, you know, when you say Ken Borland, longtime Yuma resident, was president of Arizona Western College for years and years and years, then went to work for the Crane School District and was a counselor. He was actually my counselor when I was in eighth grade.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, it's interesting, all of these people that have put time and energy into creating the event. Betty Borland, again, longtime employee with Crane School District, was actually my mom's boss back in the day. And you think these two people helped create this event that now we celebrate as what starts the holiday season out for us. And what I love about Yuma is there's people that make a difference. And it's not because they needed the fanfare. My understanding is he was actually embarrassed when it was called the Ken and Betty Borland pageant.
Yeah, he would have been.
Would have been. But because he didn't do it for any personal gain, he didn't do it for any fanfare. But the Caballeros named it that way in honor of him because of the time and effort put in.
Absolutely. And... the organization started in 1962, and obviously we who are here today and all three of us have had the opportunity to be, you know, active members and do our part for the group, and hopefully there will be many more that come after us. But at times it feels like we're kind of standing on the shoulders of giants of this community, people who mm-hmm. who had a vision that back when Yuma was still, you know, 10,000 people and they just had a vision that they wanted to see this community be something that was more than just some place you stop to get gas when you're going between Phoenix and San Diego.
Yeah. Now, you have something over there, Russ?
No, I can't find it.
You can't find it. Well, no. Then it will be a surprise for everybody at the event. So if you want to learn more about the Citizen of the Year, please come out to the Holiday Tower Lighting Pageant, which is the Ken and Betty Borland Holiday Tower Lighting Pageant, which you said is... Saturday,
November 25th.
And that starts at approximately what time?
It usually starts around 6:30, so try to be there again around 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock seems to be the theme right now, so 6 a.m. tomorrow morning and Sunday morning.
Then you get to see people unload
festival.
The balloons, unroll them, and do all that. So that's
so
a lot of fun.
You, by the way, for everybody's benefit, Russ is waving like we've gone over time before a break. So I think we're going to take a quick break. We will be right back after this break. This is Money Talk AM 560 KBLU. Derek Egeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage, NMLS number 180899, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, is an equal housing lender. NMLS number 3113, Arizona BK 0904081, LO number 0915245.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Hey, Yuma, good morning. It is Derek Egeberg with Academy Mortgage in studio. Russ Clark working the board and the laptop and being our weatherman. We have Jeff Johnson, special guest, El Presidente Caballeros de Yuma. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, everybody.
So, you know, we're talking Balloon Festival and we're talking about Holiday Tower Lighting Pageant. And the Balloon Festival, very easy for the community to see, because even if you don't go out there, all you got to do is go in your backyard. When your dog starts barking profusely, you know there's probably a balloon flying very near you.
That's very true. They definitely get excited about it, and as well as the kids. So it's we're looking forward to it. We're hoping that that we get the balloons up in the air tomorrow. We didn't have the best of luck this morning. We thought we were going to do it, but it just...
Yeah, but we don't care about the media flights. That's just the media flights. Tomorrow's the one where the community gets to go see it.
The community is definitely invited. We'd love to see everybody come out to the West Wetlands. I think we all settled on be there about 6 a.m. between 6 and 6:30 arrive. Give yourself a chance to get set up and see those balloons set themselves up, inflate, and launch. We're going to get them off the ground tomorrow.
Please, for the love of Pete, bring a heavy coat. Bring something, because it is chilly out there, and it never ceases to amaze me because, by the way, you always voluntold me that I have to do the T-shirts and the novelty stuff. I always have people ask, do you have blankets for sale? Do you have jackets for sale? No, we don't. You bring that from your house. But it is always chilly out there, so there is hot chocolate. There is coffee. You can do things like that. But just dress warm, because just before sunrise, as a, you know, somebody in agriculture, it's always coldest.
It gets really chilly right as the sun's coming up. It's just always that way. And this morning it was in the low 40s out there.
I noticed you're in the heavy jacket this morning.
I am, only because I gave my light one away to another member, but I'm glad I had it this morning. It was chilly.
So again, sunrise tomorrow is when the first balloon launches.
7:03.
Yeah, 7:03.
7:03.
Any seconds in that or just
nope,
exactly 7:03?
Don't know them.
7:03, first balloon should launch to the national anthem.
Yes.
Then after that one launches, everybody else
then
has to go ahead to inflate.
Correct. Exactly.
And in terms of anything else people need to know?
Well, if you're gonna be out there for the launch in the morning, like Derek said, dress warm, be there on time. We'll hopefully get all those balloons off the ground. You'll have a great show there. And then at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Saturday, we'll be coming back. But instead of West Wetlands, we'll be out at the baseball complex, the Rake Rock Baseball Complex, and we'll start at 3 p.m. Sorry, I just about said a.m. That wouldn't be any fun.
Please don't go 3 a.m.
Yeah, please don't
You'd
go out there
be
at 3
alone.
A.m. Yes, you would.
No, he'd probably demand we all be out there working, for crying out loud.
He's in your social A, too. Yeah, that's...
So if you are there at 3, between 3 and 6, what are we doing in the meantime? Is there food? Is there drinks?
There's food. There's drinks. There's entertainment. There's going to be some special entertainment for the kids. There will be tethered rides, which we're really excited about this year. We were hoping we were going to have them last year, and it got canceled at the last minute. Again, a weather-related issue and a conflict with the group that was coming. We've got a Got another group coming this year to do the tethered rides, and that should be a lot of fun.
I'd really like to see you add a dunk tank for El Presidente.
I would not like to do that, but
I'd buy tickets to throw balls.
I'll go buy bags of ice for the water.
Somehow I have a feeling that we're going to see a dunk tank at Midnight Oasis this year. I'm not sure why. But
you talked about the tethered rides. Let's hammer this home. This is not a small balloon and not a small basket.
They're larger baskets. They'll hold half a dozen people instead of just one or two. They'll have a larger envelope, so it'll be a bigger balloon, and they are tethered, so you're not going to go.
You're not a flight. It's just lift.
It's not a full flight, but it'll come off the ground. You'll go up hundreds of feet. I don't know exactly how high.
You're
going to
know you're up in the air.
Yeah.
You're not going to want to jump out.
It's a great view. It's a lot less. I mean, if you had to go pay for a balloon ride, I know you're talking probably $300 to $500.
Yeah,
just to get a balloon ride.
But really,
the tethered rides are a lot cheaper. They're $25. And so I think it's within reach for somebody who's just dying to give it a shot and see what it's like to go.
Super fun, and get out there early, because the years that you've had it, the lines...
There will be a line. If they're able to get it off the ground, there's going to be a line for sure.
Yeah. So get over there. But super fun, you know, take the kids up in a balloon. That was my first experience with a hot air balloon as a kid, was a tethered ride. Remember... And they may still do it. Remember the tractor rodeo? I don't even know if they still do that out in
Welton.
Do they?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so.
I don't know. But that was my first experience with one as a kid, probably 8, 9 years old, is going up in a tethered balloon ride. Super fun. And then, you know, a few years ago, we sponsored a balloon. And taking that balloon ride, it's amazing when you're up in one of those balloons.
It's pretty cool. I have about 5 years ago, I got to go up. There was a sponsor that didn't show up to one of our sponsor flights in the morning. And I was one of the members who hadn't been up yet. And they said, "Jeff, get in the balloon." And so I just climbed in, not knowing what I was. I just jumped in and it's like, here we go. And it was great. It's really cool. I mean, it's so quiet up there, but when they're not firing the burner, it's amazing how quiet it is up there.
That's one of the two things. It's the quietness, and it's completely still. And you don't realize that until you're up in one, because you're moving with the wind. So it doesn't matter what the wind is blowing. It feels absolutely still.
Right.
And that's probably the most quiet and most still I've ever felt.
It's a very interesting experience. It's unique. And you can see why people get addicted to the hobby,
mm-hmm.
as Russ referred to it. I think it's pretty darn expensive hobby for those that are doing it.
But I know a lot of hobbies are expensive.
Yeah, that's for sure. Russ talked about buying a balloon for his business.
Never.
he could attach his e-bike to it. You know,
never.
Jerry Pollan can have his chair and Russ can have his bike underneath a balloon envelope. I like it.
I like airplanes. I know where they're going.
Yeah.
I'm a control freak. I got to make it go where I want it to go.
You're a control freak.
I just don't want to ride along.
You don't want to ride along. So he's the driver. But, you know, fun experience. Now, how was takeoff? How was landing?
Takeoff was great. I mean, it's pretty exhilarating. You're pulling off the ground and you're going up pretty high, pretty fast at first, because they're
not
they're,
like Russ flying a plane at 2 G's or anything like that.
No,
you get a nosebleed
like
that.
No, they're running the burners. They're getting it up into that level where they want to cruise.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get up there pretty quickly, and you get to see a lot. It's
gorgeous.
It's a unique view of the community that you don't really get any other way.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of fun.
And landing, how was your landing?
Maybe we should skip to your landing experience.
So again, it's interesting listening to the pilot radioing the ground crew where he thinks he's going, he or she. And then it's, okay, we're going to try to put down there. And when you say try, you know, there's a window of it. It's up to the wind where you're going to take him. But I think we did three hops. And, you know, as he's coming down, I remember him the first hop. Then he pulled the cord to let out a lot more air. And we had, like, two other hops. And as the envelope came over.
And that's a successful landing. That's a successful landing.
Tips over fine. And it was great. And, you know. It was probably smoother than 20% of the airplane flights I've ever had.
Tractor rodeo is still a current annual event out in Welton in January.
I blocked that from my memory, I think, for the most part, because I and when we did the cow chip toss thing.
Oh, good.
I got one that wasn't quite dry all the way, and it just scarred my memory for life. Yeah.
That might not be a whole lot of fun, but hey. It depends on who you're tossing it at, I guess.
Yeah, my toss probably resembled your landing, I guess, maybe?
I would say your description was the same as mine, except our second hop was over a border and into a lettuce field. So that's not ideal.
Well, I mean, somebody's buying lettuce.
you mean those big green squares are not targets for the pilots to
land?
They
are not.
You do try to stay out of those.
Yes, those in my profession would appreciate it very much if you decided not to land in that
not,
area.
Not so to get in those.
Yeah. For the community, though, let's talk about that. That's another, call it a hazard for a pilot, that we who are not in the ag community don't really think about, that all of these amazing farm fields that I would think are great landing spots, that's somebody's livelihood and their income.
Oh, absolutely.
They would never intentionally land.
No. They're obviously not. And all these pilots have many. I would say the least experienced pilot out there probably still has 300-400 hours.
That's Jerry?
I think Jerry's more like 3,000 or 4,000 or maybe 30,000 at this point. I don't know. But I honestly, talking to the pilots, that's something that maybe we don't realize, that's really their number one priority is how
Where
is my landing
land.
Going to be?
Yeah.
That's before they ever take off. That's what they want to know. Where am I going to be? And
which direction
and
we go?
How hard is that landing
going to
be?
What's over there?
Yeah. And that drives more of their decision than actually the wind at takeoff.
So there's a balloon meister for this event.
Yes.
And
yes.
Who's the balloon meister?
Matt Paulin this year. And this is his second or third year now doing the balloon meister job. Jerry Paulin did it for many, many years. And
graciously did that.
Is now our balloon meister, and he's doing an excellent job. Got great pilots out there. And they're making the best decisions they can to safely fly these things, and hopefully the community will enjoy it.
I think everybody does. I mean, even if you're on the ground and you didn't even know there's a balloon festival, you look up and the sky is cluttered with balloons.
The,
you're like,
the only people that don't like it is the dogs that go crazy. Oh, yeah.
I don't even think they like it. They're just having fun barking.
Probably.
It's probably
an
enjoyable
part. Sounds
like
Russ Clark just barking at something for crying out loud.
Because they can't clap. They can't get the hands together.
That's a good visual right there. For everybody's benefit, Russ Clark is trying to clap like he has two paws. And I wish we had video in here for crying out loud.
No, it's off.
But Balloon Meister, when you're talking about the pilots planning on a landing, they're out there, and it is his call, A, whether you're taking off, B, when you're taking off. And they're studying the YPG weather station, and they're talking about directions and about where they think they're going to land. This is not a, hey, let's just throw caution to the wind, no pun intended on that, for a balloon. But they really do have this, not unlike a, because they truly are certified pilots.
Yes, absolutely.
Not unlike a airline pilot going through a checklist. This is a well-planned out, documented thing to be safe.
Oh, absolutely. They plan way ahead of time. They make sure and communicate with the FAA that this event's going to happen. That's the number one thing, months in advance. And once they get the clearance for that, then it's tracking the weather. Mm-hmm. It's checking with local officials and it's communicating with each other and making sure that it's going to be a safe.
Now
safe
I have
trip.
To ask. I'm going to change gears just for a second. So a lot of these events there's clearances that have to go somewhere else. So go back to the tower lighting. Do you need FAA clearance for that event?
Absolutely. The tower itself is pretty tall, and when you're changing the lighting for it, then they want to make sure that it's something that's not going to be a trouble
for
the pilots. Yeah, a hazard.
And for everybody's benefit, there's that additional pole that goes through the center that raises the height for the top of that.
Correct.
That you have to have FAA clearance because of that height.
Because you're changing the height.
Yes.
They've got to know. Local tower has to know.
So
sure.
you're saying the balloon festival, you have to have clearance and things well in advance. The tower lighting, you know, clearance well
Same
in advance.
Thing. Yes.
Most of these events, you have lots of clearance that has to get done. And so these are not short events to put on. These are things that have to be done well in advance because clearly, the government doesn't work really fast on some of these things,
well,
right?
Well, the first thing I was asked by people who have served as El Presidente of the Caballeros before me when I was elected is, who are your chairman for next year? Do you have your chairman picked out already? And that's something, it just the planning, I mean, basically our chairmen are selected a year in advance or sometimes 2 years in advance, if you're talking about Midnight at the Oasis. Mm-hmm. And
there's so many people are clamoring to be the chairman for that.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, that's just, that's one of those things where step forward if you want to volunteer for this and you realize
it's
you're
like
the one
you
who didn't
miss
move,
a meeting
and
you miss a meeting, you're elected.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Now, let's talk about Midnight at the Oasis really quick.
Midnight at the Oasis, obviously, it's
first
a huge
weekend
car
in
show.
March.
First weekend in March, as it is every year. We've got another one scheduled this year. We're on the verge of being sold out already for car entrance, like we always are, which is a blessing. It really is. The event started off; it had humble beginnings. Obviously, it was the group trying to figure out what is going to be our major theme when the Padres left town, and obviously that was a big blow to the organization back in the 80s. And once this car show took off, it took a few years, but it's become a really, really special event.
We changed the years. It used to be 72 was cut off.
Yep. Right? 79 now.
79?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that allows some additional cars to come in. There's a little bit more stress on getting your spot because now you have a few more people competing for those spots. So what I love about it is you're seeing some new cars come in. And what I love about that event, you know what's weird? When you're in this group, all the fun things you used to do as a kid, now you got to work them. So you don't have the enjoyment per se. It's a different enjoyment. But you talk to the car people that come in from out of town, this is literally the only show that's on green grass. And it's not on asphalt. It's not on hard pavement to walk on all day long. It's on green grass. You can, you know, pitch a lawn chair. You can just walk around, and it's just a fun family event, and it's reasonably priced. So for everybody's benefit, please, if you haven't gotten the all-weekend pass, go buy the all-weekend pass, because that is so much cheaper than trying to buy the day ticket, the night concert, then go back the next day ticket, night concert. And I don't know, El Presidente, looking up stuff on his phone quickly.
Just trying to make sure I've got details in my head that I haven't been able to keep in my head, because as I get to this age, I forget stuff.
Well, that, and I'm just going to keep changing gears what we're talking about, so it really
doesn't
matter either way.
That's okay.
But again, do we know the raffle car this year?
We do know what the raffle car this year is.
He doesn't know, but we know.
No, he does.
It's a 77 Corvette. It's got the T-top on it. It's a really, really nice car.
We've had Corvettes before.
If you're a Corvette person, this one's a it's
gorgeous
nice.
Black, shiny chrome rims. This is one that you would want to cruise around in. This is a good one.
Absolutely.
So again, you know, we know the car, we know the venue, we know the dates, and just plan on another good one. Lots of entertainment. We can't really talk about who the entertainment is yet because it hasn't been finalized.
It's not official yet. Right. They've narrowed it down to the big short list, which is about 30 or 40 groups that they're trying to figure out which ones are going to be the best ones to choose. So.
And the only reason I wanted to bring that up is that's an event that everybody looks forward to, but it's only November, and it's basically almost done and planned because you have to work that far in advance
for
entertainment, scheduling it. It's not a small event. How many people, who was talking about the geofence, geolocating, how many people were there at any one time? I mean, attendance last year was significantly up. Do you remember those numbers?
I don't know.
I know that we're talking in the 30,000 to 40,000 to 50,000 range for total people that attend over the weekend.
You're down to about 30 seconds.
Well, okay. So, El Presidente Jeff Johnson, thank you for all you do. Thank you for the group's work. We've got the Holiday Tower Lighting Pageant in about 3 weeks. We've got the Balloon Festival this weekend.
Absolutely.
It is Veterans Day weekend. If you have served, are serving, or your family members have ever served, thank you for protecting this country and allowing us to do these things on a weekend. Stay safe, everyone. Get out and celebrate the balloons. This is Money Talk AM 560 KBLU.
Because the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right.
voiced in Money Talk with Tom Rush and George Davis Wealth are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine what may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial or tax advisor prior to investing. Guests on Money Talk are not affiliated with CWM LLC. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC and SEC registered investment advisor.
This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.